Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, where we watch everything. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and it's not my birthday.
I'm Daniel, and it is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Daniel. I'm Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
And is it your birthday, Doug?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
That would have been weird.
It's not my birthday either.
Oh, okay.
So what's been going on in the world, Doug? I hear there's lots of news. Have you been holding it back from us lately?
Not so much news, but there's been a ton of trailers released recently.
Who watches trailers?
Who doesn't love trailers?
Me.
Ah, it's bogus. We got trailers for Black Widow, the next James Bond film, No Time to Die, Free Guy, a new Ryan Reynolds comedy, Wonder Woman 84, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and the Mulan live-action film.
Sorry. Coughed up a lung.
Are you all right?
I saw it. It doesn't look that bad.
I hated the movie. I did not like that.
You don't like Mulan?
No.
Okay, that makes sense.
See, I think that one looks interesting. That's the only live-action Disney film I'm actually interested in seeing, because it looks like they're bringing that epic Asian action film to a Disney film.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I saw like the first trailer, but I didn't see the new one. I haven't seen any of the trailers you just mentioned.
Oh, really?
I like trailers, but if I can avoid them, I will. Like, I won't, like, I feel like I would watch the one for Wonder Woman, because I love the first one, but I figure I'll see it in theaters eventually, because it doesn't come out for, what, like, 5 months?
Yeah, not until June or July.
Yeah.
But then you got two James Bond trailers, because you got the Black Widow and the actual James Bond. They both look like the big spy, blow-em-up action films.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Florence Pugh's a new one, right? For Black Widow?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
How about that? Has anybody seen the Ghostbusters trailer, Ghostbusters Afterlife?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And?
I've seen it.
I'll be honest, it didn't do much for me. I'm actually surprised they didn't have a minor key version of the Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters theme. It just...
Well, you know what? They couldn't, because they did that the last time with the comedy one.
That's what I think is missing from this one. It didn't have the comedy I was looking for.
Yeah, there's no... So this, to me, it was the polar opposite of the original Ghostbusters, which was irreverent. This is reverent. This is worshipping the nostalgia of the first Ghostbusters movie.
As oh, yeah.
It was serious cultural... of cultural import.
It looks like a well-made film, but that trailer is not getting me excited to see it.
Well, that trailer made me... I know the movie after seeing that trailer.
Good point.
You know, basically, Egon's relatives find his house. It's dilapidated, falling apart. The kids find his gear. There's a mine where they've buried all the ghosts from New York City. Paul Rudd is there... quirky teacher who knows what the Ghostbusters are and fills in the kids. And I guarantee you the second trailer will have one or two of probably Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd running into the Millennium Falcon, into the Ecto-1 saying, "We're back, we're home." It's the exact same marketing campaign as Force Awakens.
Yes, good point.
You know, like we're sheep that will, and we do. We respond like sheep to these things. But, that's pretty much where it's going to go. And there'll be some comedy in it, but they're playing it serious. And it's more Stranger Things, I think, than Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. God, even with the addition of Finn Wolfhard, that just screams Stranger Things.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I know I'll see it, and I'm sure it'll do well, but the other one I liked more from looks, if I were to compare the trailers to the Answer the Call one from 2016 to this, I would say I'd rather see you answer the call because it looks amusing.
Yes.
Was it really amusing? Probably not, but at least the trailer looked interesting.
And the trailer gave a good tone of the film. Like, it showed you what the tone Feig was going for.
Yeah. So I don't know about this one, but the others look really good. I'm excited about Black Widow. I'm excited about James Bond. I'm almost positive that's Dr. No, but we'll find out.
One of the things I liked about the No Time to Die trailer was that it's reuniting Daniel Craig and Ana de Armas already. They've already been in a movie together this year, and in just a few more months, they'll be in a movie together again.
Yep. Is that a segue?
I would say yes.
Or do they have more news?
Is there more news? Yeah.
Not too much. Just a lot of big trailers.
Okay.
And Watchmen ended last night.
Oh, Watchmen. So good. Is it just you and I that have been watching it, Doug?
I think so. But that was a spectacular ending. It was one of the best shows on TV this year.
Yeah. And Lindelof has come forward to say he has no plans for a season 2 right now.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I kind of wish there was more, but it was great.
Yeah, I don't want him to do another one just to do it. I want him to have a story that he's yearning to tell and not just doing it for a cash-in.
Yeah.
And if this is just a one-and-done season, one-and-done show, it mirrors the graphic novel completely in that respect, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Just the perfect, perfect show. All right. And, of course, have you guys all been watching Mandalorian, too, or is that?
Yes, I'm caught up. Mando Wednesday, I'm waiting.
Wednesday, yes. We're starting to head towards, we're heading towards the season finale, which is next week.
Whoa. I have two Mandos left, that's it?
So there's only 8 episodes in the first season.
Okay.
And then I guess we'll get season 2 probably in the spring.
Okay, I don't care.
They're shooting it right now. But, lots of speculation. Apparently, the mysterious figure that was at the end of episode 5 will be in episode 7.
Cool.
And it may be someone that we know.
Maybe.
So, or maybe not. We'll find out.
I will find out. Okay. Well, speaking of whodunit, are we going to our first film?
Sure. Rian Johnson's Knives Out, starring Daniel Craig, Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Don Johnson, Lakeith Stanfield, Catherine Langford, Jaden Martell, and Christopher Plummer. But it also could be Kevin Spacey.
Wow.
Boom. What is Christopher?
I guess, who's starting Knives Out, me or Doug?
If you want to go ahead.
Well, I'll start off. I love Knives Out. I had so much fun. I'm a big Agatha Christie novel fan. Read them all from my, I guess, 20s. I think I read every one I could find, pretty much close to all of them. I just love this film. I could not figure it out. I had my person, I guess I could spoil it now. I probably don't want to. I want people to watch this one. I had a certain person in mind all film. It worked for me. I like how he gave every character a reason to kill him. Every single character had a reason. And I like how it worked. I like the catches of how she couldn't tell a lie. I love Daniel Craig. Oh, my God. Love Daniel Craig. Steals this movie. Toni Collette, to me, is my probably number 2 in the film. Her doing whatever she was doing. I like how every turn of the movie, they introduce somebody else that could have done it. Another family member shows up to throw another wrench in the plot. And then when the finally family member that I was shocked who it was, did it, I was like, okay, you win. Didn't figure that one out. And I just think this film works on all levels, and Ryan Johnson's already said he's started working on a sequel, so I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, I love the movie, too. This was one that the whole family went to go see, and after it ended, we all compared notes in the movie theater lobby, and we all had similar theories as to what was going on. Every single one of us was wrong. And
so nobody had the final villain?
No, not at all. And we were so happy about that, because with all the twists and turns, and Daniel Craig just looked like he was having so much fun.
Did anyone in your family double up? Did you and somebody agree on one character?
We all agreed on one specific thing. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say we were all wrong about it.
Okay, we'll discuss it off air, I hope, because I want to hear this theory, because I know who my theory was.
Okay.
And I was totally pissed I was wrong, and I had reason behind it. I think this is a film that everybody could enjoy. Everybody should watch. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to blow you away, but it's something different that we don't see every day. You know, a lot of thought went into this. Obviously, I like how each character had depth, which I quite enjoyed, which I really think it works out.
If I had one minor gripe, it would be that Lakeith Stanfield didn't get anything to do.
He had nothing to do, but it was the Daniel Craig show.
Yeah. And but then don't hire Lakeith Stanfield. He's awesome. Give him something to do.
I don't think they could have. Yeah. I don't really see anything he could have done.
No, but even it was a waste of Lakeith in that sense.
I agree, like, but he's there for a paycheck, right? He's there for a name on the poster.
True.
Yeah, but there to work with Ryan Johnson. But even if they did give him anything to do, he's still going to get overshadowed by Daniel Craig. And Noah Segan from Looper is just there. But it was kind of funny when he was just fanboying, like when they were trying to figure out, he's like, oh no, let him talk. that was pretty good. No, like, I love that. Yeah, I agree. I love that I couldn't predict it. But like, sometimes I don't like to try to predict it. I get mad when it's too predictable. So here I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go along for the ride. Like, I'm just going to go where it takes me, and it just takes you so many places.
Did you pick the right person?
Sorry?
Did you pick the right person?
No, I didn't.
So nobody had, like, I think it was such a perfect pick, because no, you couldn't see it coming.
No, that's true. And that's the one thing a lot of movies can't say nowadays, that it's, like, unpredictable.
Now, I'm going to ruin a tiny bit of this because I think it's something I really thought Christopher Plummer wasn't dead. I thought that was going to be the catch at the end of the film, that he was going to come back.
That is like all a game?
Yes.
Because this board game empire?
Yes. Did you not think that, Doug?
That is what the whole family thought. We all thought he wasn't actually dead.
And then it shows you he's dead. I'm like, uh-oh. I was like, okay, Ryan thought of this. He goes halfway through the movie. He's like, okay, we're going to show you he is really dead now. So now you throw that there, and I'm like, okay. Then I thought at one point Daniel Craig had done it. I'm like, okay, well, Daniel Craig doesn't know why he's here. Somebody sent him a note. That could be a load of crap. So maybe Daniel Craig did it. I did think that at one point.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I kept going through characters as they were coming in and out of scenes. Like the scene with, I love the Michael Shannon scene when he comes to talk to her. You know?
Oh, yeah.
The whole family wanted you to come to the funeral, but I got voted out. I'm like, oh, interesting. You know? And then they would switch to a scene with Don Johnson and discuss something. And then they would go to the next person. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then
I just gave up. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick with
the Nazi guy.
Yeah, and I loved it, but I do agree with him. Like, Lakeith Stanfield needed something to do, but he had nothing.
But I think that's just with the way that, like, Ryan Johnson handles so many characters as so many great actors well, that I feel like it's bound to happen that one person kind of gets shafted a little bit in that way.
I want to use a football here reference. He felt like a second-string quarterback holding a clipboard, marking down passes.
Wouldn't he be the coach that way?
He had nothing to do.
Or, no, that's Big Ben watching Duck Hodges for the Steelers right now.
So I just got to give a nice, a well recommend to anybody. I think I want to rewatch this film and see if I could see something I missed.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about this is that it's entertaining to, like, it'll be better on rewatches. It's entertaining enough to want to rewatch it, like, immediately. Like, if you have any time, it's like, oh, shoot, maybe I'll just stay for the next showing. Like, I feel like that's one of those kind of movies for me.
I agree.
And I'm going to be honest, I never would have thought I'd be excited about a movie that had Don Johnson in it. between this film and Watchmen this year, he's been great.
But I would argue Don Johnson's not a bad actor. He never has been bad. He just picks bad shit crap to do.
Fair, but this year with these two performances, he's actually somebody I now look forward to seeing.
So maybe, isn't he in Django? Yeah, he's all about Django. Yeah, he's in Django, too.
He's in Django, but most of the roles he's taken have been, like, father of the romantic interest in like, romance movies and things like that. Just bit parts.
But he's at that age now that that's what he does.
Right. He doesn't need to be too picky. He's got money in the bank.
Well, he's got his Miami Vice money. I hope he saved it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, Anna D'Armas, she's really good here, too, and so is Chris Evans.
Chris Evans like is both. I want that sweater.
I know.
I'm like, I love that sweater.
That's so comfy.
And I got to admit, I thought everybody in the film was well-dressed. I thought everybody had a distinct style in their clothes. I thought Michael Shannon did. Jamie Lee Curtis did.
Yeah.
Toni Collette did. I thought they all looked different. Like, you'd be actually at a party and everybody would have their own clothes, like something they bought.
Oh, I didn't even put her on the cast list. Yeah, I forgot about Toni Collette.
So I just thought everything worked. I thought costuming, I mean, I don't think it's going to get a nod or anything in the Oscars for costuming, but I did like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but it'll probably get a couple of nods. I don't know where we'll get Oscar nods, but actors. I mean, what? Anna de Armas got a nomination at the Golden Globes, right?
Yeah, but did Daniel Craig have an outside shot for Best Supporting?
I don't know. Is it a strong year for Best Supporting? I don't know.
Well, if we're going to go to our next film, we can either go Irishman if we're going to talk Best Supporting Actor nomination. I know there's one right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Though, I think, again, well, it's not a spoiler, but, like, Anna de Armas. So you know how in Hustlers there's that one character that pukes at different times?
Yes.
This does it so much better.
Oh, it's an apple oatmeal or something they use for the puke.
Ew.
Yeah, you can actually eat it.
Ew.
Not a joking. I was listening to an interview with Ryan Johnson. It's an apple cinnamon kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Tastes kind of like oatmeal, okay. He says. And you can actually eat it because he ate it before Anna put it in her mouth to show her you could eat it.
Okay, that's something someone would probably buy on eBay.
So just so you guys know, I keep my research. So where are we going next?
Okay. Might as well, Irishman.
Okay.
Netflix, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci. Al Pacino, Harvey Keitel. Did he even have any lines? I don't know. Ray Romano, Bobby Cannavale, Anna Paquin, who had seven words, and Stephen Graham.
Hey, and what was his name? Sebastian Mortisello.
Oh, and Jesse Plemons.
Yes, who I love. Absolutely.
But
love
it's,
him.
Yeah, Matt Damon. But it's like 3.5 hours, so there's, of course there's a couple actors you're going to forget.
Well, you can forget all the women because they don't really say much in this film.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Anna Paquin hardly says anything.
She has one good line.
Seven words. Why, why didn't you call her?
So, Irishman, Doug, wait, Kevin, you've seen this, right?
I have seen it, yes.
Then, Kevin, go ahead.
It's long. I had to break it up over two nights. I mean, it's well done, and it's getting great reviews. I can certainly see why. It's not, it, to me, it didn't have the charm or the interest level of Casino or Goodfellas or many of the other Scorsese great movies, the great mobster movies. But the performances are fine. The aging tech stuff kind of bothered me a little bit because everybody looks rubbery, and even though they look younger, they look like they're 90-year-old men because they still move like 90-year-old men. They didn't do anything to make their movements. Like, they still look like they have bad knees and big guts. And anyway, I would say it was kind of slow up until he gets on the road with Al Pacino, and you know, it kind of picks up a bit, and then the whole thing how they're going to get rid of Hoffa and, you know, deal with all that. I thought that was fascinating, and that actually perked my interest, but for a while there, I was really kind of bored with it. You know, all the stuff with the meat and the law and the trucks and all that stuff, and how the Irishman becomes enmeshed with the mob and who his loyalties are with and so forth. And then it's just sort of like this sad old man who's like by himself in an old age home while everybody, he won't testify and everybody else is dying around him. And they're long gone and he's still sort of lingering around with his memories. So I don't know. I thought it was okay, but I didn't love it like a lot of people seem to. That's my review.
Well, I'll go the opposite of that then. I love this movie. This is probably my favorite movie of the year so far. I make no bones about it. I'm a huge Martin Scorsese fan, so this was my most anticipated film of the year. But I thought it was fantastic. I thought Joe Pesci gave the performance of his career in this. He was the complete opposite of the Joe Pesci's that we've seen before. He was calm. He was quiet. He let Al Pacino do all the outbursts and the yelling. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I saw this as Scorsese making a movie about America today. I saw Jimmy Hoffa as a Donald Trump equivalent. Big, boisterous, always has to be right. I saw Frank Sheeran, the Robert De Niro character, as just the general public from today. He really had no say in his story. He just did what everybody else told him to do. The only like real choices he made was in the beginning when he steals the stakes to sell to the mafia. And everything else, he just does what he's told. There was the first time that he was asked to commit the hit. That was because he was going to do something. He took some initiative, but then people told him, no, don't do that. Do this instead. And he just went along with it. He was like, okay. And I don't know. I just loved it. I loved seeing De Niro and Scorsese and Pesci working together again after, God, 20 years now, probably.
I guess I want to build on a little bit more what you said, Doug. I agree with you 100% on almost every point you made, but I think the viewer, you got to understand, this guy is a master for a reason. The way he frames a shot is what I want to get at. I can see why Kevin found it boring. I didn't, but I could see that. But the way he frames a shot and the way he shoots a shot, nobody else can do that. I like the way he takes his time. I like the way the camera moves. I really like the pacing of his action scenes. I never find them too violent when the guy's shooting. It makes sense. Especially the scene when he takes, I think it's Sebastian, when he goes to, he's out with dinner with his family. And he goes, tells the guy to go around the block. He goes, I'll just be a minute. And goes in, boom, right back in the car. And I mean, I love how he introduced characters and it tells you what happens to them. I like the scenes in prison when they're playing. We see Joe Pesci in a wheelchair and he's playing lawn bowling, did something for me. I thought Al Pacino was just riveting as Jimmy Hoffa. I just worked perfectly for me. And I did have one, just this is a small issue. I didn't like the scene when De Niro's beating up a guy outside at the beginning. It looked terrible.
That's a scene they nominated for stunt work,
right? Yeah, it is terrible. I'm like, why can't we just put a younger guy that's built like De Niro to do it? And just put De Niro's face on it. Oh, my God. He's got the Samuel L. Jackson old man movement. That was rough.
Right. That was my problem with all of that
together. And I thought sometimes the de-aging technique bugged me at times. It looked nice. And I'm like, eh, it just doesn't look right.
It looked rubbery.
Yeah, something didn't look right.
The only thing that bugged me was De Niro's eyes. Sometimes he looked like a White Walker from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the blue eyes, yeah. I had a problem with the de-aging at first, because like when De Niro's character and Pesci's character meet, it was like, okay, that's kind of off-putting, and then Pesci's like head just seems way too big for his body in the de-aging. But as it went on, I forgot about the de-aging. I was like, and then when it kept transitioning between ages, I was like, all right, it's getting closer to each other that it actually seems a bit fluid to me at this point. I'm in the middle of Kevin and you guys. I like Scorsese a lot. But, okay, this is a huge sin, but I haven't seen Goodfellas or Casino.
Oh, my God. Get off the show.
Okay.
You're fired. On your birthday.
All right. Shut up. But, no, I mean, I it's just because mafia movies aren't my – they're not my thing, you know?
That's fair.
But I enjoyed – I mean, I know I should have seen those, but, like, it's kind of the same thing with this being 3.5 hours. It's like, oh, you want to watch Casino? That's 3 hours. Oh, you want to watch – Goodfellas, that's like 2 hours 40. Like, that's why I haven't seen The Aviator. I haven't seen a lot of them, of his movies, because like, they're so long. But I wanted to. Anyway, back to Irishman, sorry. I love the performances. I think the most interesting thing for me is that, like, what De Niro's actions are doing to his children, and just that they're seeing him as this big enforcer. And it's just such an interesting thing that Jimmy Hoffa just seems like a good guy, and that's why like Anna Paquin's character, like as a kid, gravitates towards him. I thought that was interesting.
I want to discuss the scene when the woman gets fired from her job. I think it's Hoffa's wife, and they're blowing up cars left, right, and center, killing people. And she goes to turn on her car.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Did anybody think what I was thinking was going to happen? I thought totally sure that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. I'm like, okay, that works for me. But I mean, I love how she paused and goes, okay, let's do it.
I had Casino flashbacks.
Yes, so did I.
Yes. If you guys got a minute, I actually have a personal connection to this movie.
Go ahead.
My father worked in trucking in Trenton, New Jersey. So way back when, he was just starting out, he was always in management. So he worked, with Teamsters. There was one Teamster he had to fire. So to do that, he had to go before the Teamsters union. Him and his direct boss had to go and, give the reasons why they were firing this person. On their way into the union hall, Sally Bugs, the guy from The Irishman with the glasses who strangled the guy from the backseat of the car and questioned about the fish, looked my father dead in the eyes and said, "You're going to do the right thing now, aren't you, kid?"
Holy shit.
That's my connection to the film.
Oh, wow. Now, let's discuss the fishing. Kevin, did the fish scene bug you? It made me laugh so hard.
Remind me what the fish scene is.
Who brings fish into a car? What kind of fish was it?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Oh, my God.
There are lots of things I enjoyed about the film. Don't say I'm hating all of it. I enjoyed the way they planned the car route out, and he describes the no smoking in the car, and the women have to get out and smoke. And then they go all the way up to this place, and then you have to catch a plane and take care of Hoffa and all that stuff. I liked all that stuff. And I liked the stuff with the fish in the car. I thought that was very Scorsese, very Goodfellas, very Casino. Like, you know, everybody's going off and sidetracking, and like ad libbing. I like that. So I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
I just thought the scene was good. I think my other favorite scene is again just Scorsese moments when the women are in the car And they're yelling at Frank to change the radio station because Joe Pesci's asleep.
Yeah.
Can you change station? No, no, no. He's asleep. He won't care. I'm just like, I love it. Those little things I don't see in movies often.
And, one thing about Scorsese, he always shoots food very well.
Yeah.
I always get hungry watching a Scorsese movie. And oddly enough, in this one, it was ice cream. It was all the ice cream sundaes that Jimmy Hoffa was eating.
Yes. Oh, come on. Discussing food. The watermelon scene?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You guys love watermelon. You want some? No, I hate that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're getting – because they loaded it up with vodka and were eating the – I was dying.
Oh, and all the steaks. It was like food porn watching those steaks.
Oh, my God, the steaks. So, I mean – I have to agree a bit. The film could use a little bit of a trim, I said in Twitter, and I'm going to stick to that, but doesn't mean I didn't love it. I'm talking maybe 20-minute trim, and we could see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost think it could have been broken up into two parts.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, the backstory and then the current thing, but I know we had to go back and forth with flashbacks for that structure, which is fine, but it was a long sit-through.
Yeah. I felt like I was watching this all day.
I mean, it's not, I know the inevitable Endgame stuff because he criticized Marvel movies, but I didn't feel the length of Endgame as I was watching it, but I did feel the length of Irishman as I was watching that.
Well, didn't Chris Evans take a shot at Scorsese? He said, yeah, you know, Martin, those Marvel movies are all the same, you know, like, cause, you know, I see your movies. I see De Niro, Pesci, Pacino, gangster movies are the same thing. I couldn't stop laughing. He was trolling them. It was great.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what Martin's point was with all of that. So,
and now
he wanted a soundbite almost to get on the front page.
Yeah. Now that guy wants to meet with Scorsese, the Marvel one.
Okay. Kevin Feige.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Iger.
Iger.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, you pay notes, don't you? Uh-huh. Yeah. There was a lot about this movie I really, really liked. Like, a lot of things I loved, but it's just pacing is really slow. And it's a good movie that I probably won't watch again.
No, but I'm not watching it again.
It is interesting to see Netflix, you know, there's a lot of talk about the relevancy of Netflix right now with all the new streaming services coming up. So this is how they're relevant now. Their first run movies are a big deal. You know, yeah, the Irishman. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say the ones they've been putting out lately are really good.
And with big name directors too. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, with Roma last year winning all those Oscars.
Yep.
So it used to be like, oh, there might be one good Netflix movie every 10. Now there's probably like four or five good ones or great ones every 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of bad ones, but yeah.
Well, I think I got like 3 Netflix movies in my top 10 of the year this year, so.
Yeah. Did you want to keep doing Netflix ones or go to Downton Abbey? If we're done discussing Irishman.
Why don't we do another Netflix movie and keep that on the trend?
Okay. Well, speaking of great directors, The Laundromat, directed by Steven Soderbergh, starring Meryl Streep, Gary Oldman, Antonio Banderas, James Cromwell, Robert Patrick, for a bit, Jeffrey Wright, and Matthias Schoenaerts. Now, it was just you and me, Simon, who saw this one, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I'm curious to see why you liked it, so you can go ahead.
Oh, I love the pacing of this film. I love these kind of movies that explain things to the audience. Like, I love Big Short for the same reason. I'm very interested. I read a lot of business section. I read all the corporate shell cover. I find this stuff fascinating. I mean, people have food porn. I have corporation porn. The way they get away with stuff is amazing. I like how they discuss how the shell company works. I like how the woman, Meryl Streep's character, was investigating it. I thought that was interesting. And I like how they kept going back to the characters and explaining more things to you. And I just enjoyed it. I like Soderbergh's shooting. I usually like Soderbergh's films because I like his pacing. I like the way he shoots. He doesn't frame that well, but that's okay to me because I find his characters are always real to me. They feel like real people.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't look fake to me. It doesn't look like nothing against a Marvel movie. I know it's a Marvel movie. And Soderbergh has that same look to me. Everybody seems like a normal person. They're doing their thing. You know what I mean? I believe these characters really exist in most of his films. Like, I even see it in Sex, Lies, and Videotapes. I have the same feeling. I love that film because I like the way he thinks. It's very few sort of things. So, I mean, I just like it because it explains things to me. I like the way they got found out and how it comes back. I don't know. My honest answer is I just enjoyed it. Is it an amazing film? No. But I liked it. It's something different. And I think Soderbergh brings that to the screen every time he comes, something different. It's something I hadn't seen before. I like Gary Oldman. I like Antonio Banderas is impressing me more and more as an actor as he stops doing stupid films like Expendables 3. I think he did a good job.
What was that one that we both hated? That really, the melodramatic one?
I don't know.
It was by the creative This Is Us. But that was a bad one.
But I don't find Meryl Streep can do any wrong for me. I don't always like her movies, but I like her performances. I like how she could never Meryl Streep in a movie. She can change her voice and become that character. And I
she
like
can
that
do wrong when she does brown face.
Well, that's probably true. But I like the film, and that's my honest answer. I enjoyed it. I think Soderbergh's a fantastic director, and you should watch all his films.
Yeah, I really like Soderbergh, but I think I hated this one. I didn't care for Meryl Streep's character. It's like, okay, I feel bad that your husband died in a
boating accident.
Sinking of the ship. Yeah, they're trying to explain shell companies, but I still don't feel like I know what a shell company is.
I totally see. To me, this is my kind of thing. I love reading about this stuff.
Okay. No, but yeah, I didn't really like – I was bored by The Big Short when I saw it.
I love The Big Short. Same movie.
The Big Short's great. Great movie. Yeah.
This is very
I watched
similar.
It again. I'd like to – I see sometimes it's like when I don't like some of them the first time, it's because I don't understand it. But this one, if I watch it again, I still hate it.
But I understand that. The flashbacks were kind of weird. Whenever they flash to Gary Oldman and Ben Darris, if you're not invested by then, you're going to hate it.
It was just, I mean, I like that style was kind of amusing, but it's a comedy and I never thought it was funny. And then I thought it was just strange how it eventually went into three different chapters, like that guy with the affair with the roommate. And then Matthias Schoenaerts going with, doing business with that Chinese woman. Okay, I actually thought that scene was pretty good. Like
but the
dialogue
affair
of
with
that.
The woman explains to you how you can work a shell company and how you can make it worth nothing.
Yeah, and then transfer the money to another company.
Yes, and it explains that to you.
And then it's a piece of paper.
And I love that. I thought it was great.
I just didn't think it was interesting at all. I didn't think it was funny.
Oh, my God. Loved it. Like, couldn't have – I wanted another 20 minutes. I would have been happy.
Oh, I would have killed myself.
I know. It would have been too long for you. I was, so invested in this film. I guess it's his own. It's just one of these things. It's something that appeals to me.
No, just a lot – most of it didn't work for me. And then it's just – I don't know. I couldn't wait for it to end, to be honest. And I thought it was confusing how – I guess I'll just spoil it because Meryl Streep plays two characters. She plays Alan and then Elena. That's the confusing thing to me was did she take off the brown face and the wig at the end because she was Elena? Because, like, how does that make sense when Ellen is talking to Elena on the phone at one point?
They're two different characters. They're two different characters.
So that's just for the perspective of the monologue at the end.
Yes. And she explains that somebody had to stop these people.
Yeah.
And that's all her character does. But I love that twist. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. And I knew it was her. I didn't mean to spoil it for myself because I didn't. But, like, I saw on Twitter once, I saw a picture of her character, you know?
Oh, okay.
But. So, I mean, if I didn't, I wouldn't have known it was her, but
at the end, I probably would have been like, oh, I don't care. Like, I don't care that you did that because I didn't like this at all.
Oh, I loved it. Like, I love that.
I don't
twist.
Think it'd be on my bottom 10, but like, well, maybe.
Oh, did you hear that, guys? It may appear in his top 10.
Opposite.
Oh, worse? No, there's definitely worse films of the year.
Well, no, for sure. Last I said, it probably won't, but maybe.
Okay, fair enough.
I hope to see it at some point.
I want to hear Kevin's take on it.
Well, yeah, I have to see it before I can give it to you.
I understand that.
Well, we'll do one that we've all seen. We'll do Disney Plus one.
Have we done Dolomite? Just got a question. Like, have we done Dolomite yet?
No.
No. Do you want to do that one now?
Why? Yeah, let's do Dolomite.
Keep okay. that Netflix train
sure.
rolling.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolomite is my. Yeah. No. There's just so many Netflix movies. I thought we'd get like a change of pace, you know. All right. Dolomite is my name, starring Eddie Murphy, Keegan-Michael Key, Wesley Snipes, Mike Epps, Craig Robinson, Titus Burgess, Divine Joy Randolph, Cody Spit McPhee, and Snoop Dogg.
I'll start on this one if you want. I love this movie. I thought this was fantastic. I did not know the story of Rudy Ray Moore. It was basically just a guy who wasn't succeeding, and he decided to pick up on some of like the old style joke telling of vaudeville comedians and he sort of revived his career with kind of a raunchy version of it, with his own, putting out his own comedy albums in the 70s. And he kind of hits a vein. I guess comedy was on the rise at that point too, right? Comedy records were a big deal with Bill Cosby and George Carlin and all these people. And he decides to make a movie, and this is about the struggle he undergoes to put a movie on the screen. With his character Dolomite. And it's kind of like a fight. He's like, let's throw everything in the mix of what's popular in the 70s with kung fu and action and good looking women and gangsters and all that stuff and drugs and comedy on top of that. And I thought the casting in this movie was fantastic this is probably the best thing Murphy's done in 10 years.
Oh yeah.
And, this is feature film quality work, but he's, again, it's a Netflix release too. It had a limited theatrical run, but Wesley Snipes, who I haven't seen in a long time, comes in and he reinvents himself in this movie, playing the director of the film, Derville Martin, he's fantastic in this. Keegan-Michael Key's in this. Craig Robinson is hilarious. Like, it's just a great supporting cast, a great story. And there's a moment in this film where it goes from being like a funny, good film to being a great film to me, which is there's a sequence where he's at the movie theater for the premiere and there's a kid outside.
Oh, yeah.
A big fan. And he's going to go in and he stops. He goes, no, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go out and hang with my fans. And he just goes out and he has fun. And that's, to me, and he connects with the kid. And the kid rapped for him. And you can see, that's sort of that manifestation of the fact that Rudy Ray Moore was very influential on early rappers. They actually call him the godfather of rap. So because of his speaking style and the comedy way he told rhymes. Was kind of put into the rap style of the early rappers. So I had a great time with this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I love this movie. And there were so many scenes that were amazing. The shooting of the action scene in the driveway where Wesley Snipes is just like, was it in focus?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this movie actually had a scene that I have never seen before, where Rudy Ray Moore confides to Lady Reed that he's nervous about shooting a sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen, like, any male character admit to that.
Yeah.
And it was so humanizing, and it was wonderful. I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for me, like, The Laundromat, like, might be on my bottom 10. Like, this might be on my top 10. I loved it. Like, seeing Eddie Murphy, like, having so much fun again is just something we haven't seen in a long time. And just, I thought it was so interesting that he got, like, the resurgence of his career from, like, Learning from Those Hobos, and just, like, going back to, like, that culture and just using all that to revive it. And then just him wanting to prove his dad wrong or anyone who doubted him that he could be something. And that's just, it's a very cinematic movie, but it's also just very relatable because the character's really well written. And I got a lot of Disaster Artist vibes for this, but the Disaster Artist of exploitation.
I could see that. I totally will give you that.
Yeah. No, and the supporting characters were great. The only weird thing for me was seeing Cody McPhee, like, being so lanky. Like, cause, I mean, like, I saw him, like, as a kid and, like, Let Me In, and now he's just, like, so tall. That's kind of weird.
No, I just thought he was going to be that short kid. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie. I was focused from just the way he was, like, talking in the first scene of Snoop Dogg. Like, I don't want to swear, but no, just the way he was doing it and he wanted his record on the air. And then just that scene of him realizing, like, oh, I could do so much more than my commie adult albums. Like, when they saw the movie and just the difference in white people's taste in a good movie and what's comedy, and then hit theirs. It's like, wait, this isn't funny. And I thought this was really great.
I got to give this film credit on numerous levels. It made me laugh. It was nice to see Eddie Murphy back. But I love Chris Rock. I love Chris Rock. It's got to be one of the funniest men alive. Him being the DJ was making me laugh. Just the way he was talking when they're off air. What are you doing to me? You're not giving me anything. I love Chris Rock. I like the pacing in the film. I found it just paced really well. Quick.
Uh-huh.
What I thought was disappointing, Titus Burgess does nothing for me as an actor.
Yeah.
He plays the assistant. Like, I did watch every season of Kimmy Schmidt because I thought they played to his strength.
Yeah, he he's the exact opposite.
He's just terrible in this. I'm just like, why are you here? And I thought,
because he just plays himself on Kimmy Schmidt, basically.
And I feel bad. Like, I don't know the woman's name. The woman, his protege.
Divine
Joy Reynolds. She was great. Absolutely funny. I thought she kept pace in the film. I thought it was very well casted. I love the costuming, but I mean, I love black exploitation films anyway. I mean,
I love the white actor who's like, oh yeah, I found my my go-to role. I'm the racist white guy in all these movies.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
But that was funny, that guy. I like the whole hotel scene, how he found that old hotel or whatever it was and kicked all the
Dunbar.
People. The Dunbar. I thought that worked out well.
And the floor is, you could pretty much put your foot through the floor and they have to steal electricity from next door.
I thought it was funny when he had to go back to the guys for cash. What do you need money for? Editing and film, and you didn't do anything? I just thought this film worked. I actually liked the character.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I actually wanted him to succeed. Obviously, they made a film about him. I presume he succeeded. I honestly would say I didn't know. I'd never heard of him.
Uh-huh.
So I think this film was fun. It was nice to see Eddie Murphy doing a real role where he could actually make people laugh.
And it's almost like the exact opposite of The Disaster Artist, because, like, Tommy Wiseau had so much money to make his movie that he filmed on film and digital, and he bought the camera equipment. And here they just have like $60,000 to try to make this happen.
Yeah.
And he's so passionate about it that he has to move into the hotel because he can't afford his apartment anymore.
Correct.
I just thought, like, doing all of that to make a dream happen, that's just really cool to me.
I'm with you. And he did.
Yeah.
It worked out well for him.
And also the Lady Reed had a lot of good scenes. Like, her saying, like, oh, thanks for giving me this chance because I never see, like, a woman like me on a big screen.
Yeah.
A lot of cool moments. I loved it.
So did I.
Me too.
I'm glad when we can all agree.
Yeah.
Brings a tear to my eye.
Wait.
Okay, do we want to do another Netflix one or change it up?
What's next on your Netflix list?
Earthquake Bird.
Why don't you and Simon, I think it's just you two guys have seen it.
Okay.
We can do this quick, Dan. I'll start.
Okay, well, I'll do the cast real quick. Directed by Wash Westmoreland, starring Alicia Vikander, Riley Q, Jack Huston, and Naoki Kobayashi.
Well, Dan, Earthquake Bird, this was painful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what movie is he making? Oh, it's got Alicia Vikander. Oh, I like Alicia Vikander. I like Riley Keough. Okay, I could get into this. I did not understand this film half the time. Mike, what is the point of this? Where is this film going? Why am I watching this? And I kept...
Because you watch everything.
And I got to the end of the film, which I won't ruin for Kevin if he ever watches it. I didn't understand it. I'm going, did I miss something? So I rewound it and watched it again. I'm like, I don't understand this. So, of course, me going to the internet, looked it up, and I'm like, they changed it from the book.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. And then I read the book ending. I'm like, hey, now I understand what happened. Because there was no wiki on the film. I'm like, I don't get this. Why did she go back to the guy's apartment? I never understood that. There was no reason for her to go back there. None.
No.
Well, she was looking for evidence.
You've seen this then, Doug?
Yes.
See, I understood she was looking for evidence, but I thought she had moved on.
Well, hadn't she just left the police station at that point?
Yeah, I think
she got a new inkling or something.
Like, I really didn't feel she was that smart. Do you know what I mean?
I think her as a character, she built up this survival instinct because of her family history. She had to learn to take care of herself. So she has a very highly attuned survival instinct, which I think led her to go look in his apartment for the evidence.
I guess so, but I didn't feel any of this paid off at any time. No. I just didn't like any character. I didn't like any direction. And I just thought it was overall dumb.
Yeah, I'll always watch a movie for Alicia Vikander, but like when I'm bored in one of her movies, I notice like how I don't know if this is always her accent, but like just how weird some of her words, like pronunciations are. When I can't focus on anything else that's happening. It didn't make any sense from the beginning. Like, I was confused for a good 40 minutes what this movie was trying to do.
Okay, so it wasn't just me that got lost in the middle.
No.
When they meet Riley Keough until almost the end, I'm like, what is the point of this?
Yeah, like, when they started and brought her into the police station, I didn't even realize, like, what they were...
Yeah, I had no idea what they were investigating either. Did you, Doug?
And
yeah, because her coworker gave her the newspaper that said they found a body part in the bay that they thought was the missing Riley Keough. Okay.
See, I didn't connect the fact that was that character's name because we hadn't met Riley Keough, and then she goes to the police station, and then she meets the Asian, like the boyfriend photographer. And then we meet Keough. I just didn't understand until like 40 minutes. I was like, oh, wait, so she's at the police station and now we're going back. Because it didn't make it very clear that that's what they're doing. And I think that from right there, that was like, okay, like, so you're not going to even let me know that we're going back to fill in the holes. I think that's where I got really confused. And I think like when I said like Netflix, like a bit ago would have like, one good movie every 10. This is one of the bad movies.
Well, I have to agree with you. I Vincent McAndrew, I find hit and miss in everything. And I don't know. I feel this film needs maybe 10 more minutes just to explain stuff to me. Give me some direction in the middle where maybe where it was going.
100 minutes less, and they would have made it.
I find it kind of weird when she stumbles upon the other relationship. It's like, oh, okay, fine. And then it doesn't really go back there.
Yeah. It was a weird love triangle movie.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It might make sense if you read the book, but it doesn't make sense as a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do Klaus?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Animated movie, animated Netflix film starring Jason Schwartzman, J.K. Simmons, Rashida Jones, Joan Cusack, Norm MacDonald, and Will Sasso.
Oh, am I supposed to start this one? I'm sorry. Klaus, Kevin saw it, but I'll start. It's about a guy that really is an idiot.
Uh-huh.
And needs to find himself. So his dad sends him off, said, okay, I'm cutting you off. You got to go to this small island and start a post office.
His father's the postmaster general.
Yes, he is.
And it's like Germany or something like that. Or, well, I don't know, I even know what country it is.
United Kingdom, I guess. I don't know.
No, it wasn't.
But they're not British. I don't know. Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
So he goes there, and you've basically got a film of the Hatfield McCoys. And, you know, he discovers a way to start the post office.
There was a post office, but no postman.
Yes, no postman.
And the two families are warring with each other to the point where, like, nothing gets done.
Correct.
The kids aren't even in the Elgin Bowls. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the animation.
Mm-hmm.
I found this film slow, way too slow for me, and uninteresting. For the most part, I didn't like the voice acting. I thought it was terrible. None of the voices matched the characters to me at all. Like, Joan Cusack was atrocious.
Joan Cusack as an old woman. It just didn't, the voice, it's like a young, like, even though Joan isn't a young woman, but she has a voice.
Yeah.
And she's, it's coming out of this decrepit, old, angry human being. Her voice didn't match her energy. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
That took me out. I liked the characters. I just found them interesting. I didn't like the storyline. I thought it was really dumb. Really, really dumb. I tried hard. I really did. But as the film went on, I got bored. Like, if we didn't have to finish it for the show, I might not have finished it. Eventually, wow. I would have, but I wouldn't have powered through it. I had a lot of problems trying to finish this film.
Is your laundromat for you?
Yeah, laundromat for me. This film was not for me.
But you're a postman.
I'm well aware of what my profession is, but I did not find this film enjoyable in any way.
About you, Simon.
Yeah. It tells you the monotony of my job. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Yeah, I got it.
No. Wait.
Maybe that's my problem, and I relate to it too much.
I don't know. No, it's a Christmas movie. I loved it, actually. I didn't really like the look of the animation style, like, at first, but I was like, okay, this is kind of growing on me. I thought it looked good. I like the fact that he wanted, like, eventually he was forced on this, in this really bad spot, and then he wanted to stay. Cause I thought it was kind of charming, him watching, like, grow a community by just, like, acts of goodwill. And I thought it captured the spirit of Christmas well. And I thought it was really creative how they started, like, Christmas. And I thought Christmas spirit, decent voice acting. I like the characters, and I actually laughed a lot, which I was surprised about.
I'm shocked. When did you laugh? When the kid comes back? When the guy comes back?
What?
When he comes back and knocks the sled over and they go down the hill? That, you found that funny?
I don't know. I just laughed at a lot of spots. But I can't remember any specific. No, I laughed when I thought the one Killenbo one with the big tongue, that would say mine. I thought it was funny when she only got the little sled and she just takes it off the kid. Like, mine. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I felt bad for the kids. He's taking their money for something and getting them free toys for doing nothing.
Only a penny. I mean.
But he's going to take the toys from his buddy.
Well, yeah, so that's why he's kind of conniving at first, you know, just because he wants to get out of there. But then it's just about the community, like, you know, it's building the community back together because of the acts of kindness. And I thought that worked, even though, but I don't know what year this is, but I mean, like, what, 1800s?
1900s? I'd
say 1900s. Yeah. Well, because, you know, they referenced the World War II. So, yeah, 1950s, I guess.
Where did they reference World War II?
I was about to try to think of what. Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. I don't remember that.
There's no electricity in it. So
I mean, they referenced a war, I thought, at one point.
There have been wars forever, Daniel. As long as there have been people, there have been wars.
I thought they referenced World War II. God dang it.
It did have a very Germanic World War I kind of. Late 19th century, like 1800s kind of look to it.
Yeah,
like when the Victorian age.
I don't know.
I thought the animation was interesting. It had a Into the Spider-Verse slight feel to it.
Yeah.
Combination of 2D with 3D effects. And I thought that was good. I had the opposite reaction to the film as Simon, in that I thought it really started off poorly, and I didn't care anything about any of these characters. And then I did care. I came to like this guy Jasper.
Oh God!
And I did like the clown character. He's this strong, silent, scary type who ends up being likable and. I'll admit, I was touched with the story of him losing his wife and, you know, he built all the toys for the kids and the kids never came. And I was like, this is sad, but this is good. I care about these characters now. And the school teacher, played by Rashida Jones, who sells fish in the school. And I thought that was, and she's jaded about that. But the kids, it's like shows the kids are motivated to do good in that they're getting something in return out of it. But that just by being nice to one another, it changes the tone of the community where it goes from this awful hatred, like everybody hates each other and wants to kill each other, to, you know, making each other meals and turning the whole community on its head.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it. I thought that was kind of interesting, and then of course the leaders of that community like the hatred. The, you know, the Democrats versus the Republicans, basically, they're out to kill one another. So I thought it was actually pretty good for a Christmas movie. It was, yes, it was hokey. Like, how do we invent the hokey Christmas? How do we snapshot the things we know about Christmas and throw it into little vignettes? Where, you know, the snake goes flying through the air and the kid sees it. Or, you know, the whole present thing and going up the chimney and all that stuff. It's
yeah.
Little stuff. But, it, you know, and the elves, you know, like the people with the almost like Eskimos that live on the ice.
Yeah, Squally or Somali or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as far as animated films go, it was pretty well done. And my only gripe would be that some of the voice casting wasn't like the voices didn't match the character, as you said.
That J.K. Simmons is a pretty good Santa.
Yeah,
he was the best in the film. I agree with that.
And I like Jason Schwartzman. He was all right as the lead character.
I think he had a lot of funny moments, like when he was the dad was like, oh, he'll thank me one day. And then he's on the cart going, like, sarcastically, like, thanks, Dad. Like, thank you so much.
I didn't appreciate the modern language in the old setting. That was a little off-putting, too. when they're doing the pound sign and they're cracking jokes like they're now, like they're characters from now, but in this, you know, old time setting. That was a little off putting. They could have ditched some of that stuff.
Huh. Okay.
But anyway,
apparently it's set in the 19th century, so 1800s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But definitely not based on any kind of anything.
No. No.
Yeah.
And set in Schmierensburg. Yeah. No. Yeah. I thought it was interesting how it like had that like how the Grinch Stole Christmas kind of vibe near the end when they're just trying to get the presents, and I thought it was. Oh, okay, yeah, one thing I laughed at was when, like, halfway point, when they were both at the ambush, like, throwing a rock down and then throwing a tree stump down. I thought that was pretty funny. And mm-hmm. then just that whole chase, trying to get the presents.
Well, and the big the big woman falling in love with the other guy.
Yeah.
Mine part, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and then she's holding up mine. I was like, no, a pumpkin, what the hell? Yeah,
but yeah, definitely had a graphic novel come to life feel to it too.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just bought into how like one kid's smile could show, like could like just cause like a chain reaction. I thought that was kind of charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Okay. Downton Abbey.
Last film, pick it.
Okay, Downton Abbey or Noel? Might as well Noel, right?
Or do you want to do a Godzilla?
Whatever can be quick.
Let's open the vault.
Godzilla's probably.
Okay, open the vault there.